This is Melissa Patrick for WKLM, and I am speaking with Congressman Max Miller. And Congressman Miller, thank you for joining in with us today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
And you have the northwestern corner of Holmes County. And so it's not a huge part, but it still affects Holmes County in the whole a lot with what you're doing in D.C. So what are some of the big things you've been working on?
A couple of the biggest things that we've been working on, one is the Farm Bill. We have been working on that since the beginning of this term in Congress with Chairman Thompson. And we've made historic investments in the farm safety net and in crop insurance. And there's a lot of rhetoric out there that are saying Republicans are cutting SNAP. What I want to familiarize people with is that this is one of the largest historic investments that anyone has ever made into SNAP. And that is just a lot of rhetoric that the other side of the aisle is using in political gamemanship. What we need to do is put the Farm Bill on the floor that went through markup, passed successfully out of the Agricultural Committee, and continue to push for our farmers and ranchers. And in my opinion, not enough people have taken a strong enough voice on their behalf. And one of the things that we have in the Farm Bill itself is called Farm to Fly, also known as sustainable aviational fuels. Right now, corn prices on the digital commodities has been steadily dropping, and that's me putting it nicely. And Mexico has taken advantage of us, and they have negated the USMCA agreement, which is a protectionist revision on GMO corn, which has hurt our farmers. What this is going to do, since we don't have any hybrid or electric planes, is this is going to bring us a steady streamline of jet fuel. And what a wonderful relationship for our farmers and ranchers who grow these crops to go ahead and help with this renewable energy subsidy, because we should be tapping into every form of energy. And if we can get this passed, it'll be life-changing for the state of Ohio and for the Midwestern countries. The other thing that I've been proudly working on is technical education and workforce development. I proudly give 25% of my salary back to the community. Last year, I gave $43,500 to the Medina Technical Educational Career Center. And this year, it is going to go to a technical educational center in Wayne County, which I'm proud to say. But I introduced a piece of legislation with Senator Tom Cotton about a month ago. Right now, we're 2% down in the manufacturing trades as a whole. We have a lot of these universities that have over $2.5 billion worth of endowment. We're just going to tax the universities who have over $2.5 billion worth of an endowment at 1%, creating a $9,000 voucher. So anyone can use it to be a carpenter, a pipe fitter, a welder, get your CDL license to be a truck driver. But hey, that makes sense, right? You can get that, and then if you wanted to, pay it back, which these young adults won't have to. But if you wanted to right now, you could go out and take $250,000 out for an underwater basket weaving degree at Harvard. This is the way of the future, and it goes back to manufacturing and not pontificating on college campuses and universities and getting our kids back to a solid work ethic moving forward in the greatest country in the world.
Well, we're definitely growing in the tech area here in Holmes County. I know the Ashland County West Holmes Career Center is growing. They're expanding this year because they're getting so many people. That's definitely an important place to focus on, as well as the farming stuff.
Absolutely. And right now, we are continuing to work hard to make sure that we have a secure southern border and that we can feel safe in our own communities. A lot of what isn't touched on is the illegal immigration that's come into this country, and that still, and I say this like a broken record, because I don't think people truly understand that 70,000 Americans are dying of fentanyl overdose every single year. And if people think that that is some type of conspiracy theory or that this is just happening because Americans like fentanyl, they're wrong. This is being done by foreign countries who are trying to weaken us from the inside out, because by the time they ever have to go to war with us, we're not going to have military-aged men and women ready to fight. And the majority of our generation and the youth can't even sign up for our military right now while we're in a 30% recruitment slide throughout our entire branches except for the Marine Corps. So,
and you know, we started out with a farm bill, and how much do you guys watch what's going on everywhere else? Europe was having a big mess with their farmers and the government just not taking care of them and think. Do you guys use that at all when you're putting together that farm bill, or are you just kind of focusing on what you think that we need to do and not looking at what's going on everywhere else?
Our farmers and the models that we use, while they are similar to some of the European models and some of the other models that are out there, we need to focus on what we can do in our country to help our American farmers and ranchers right here. And while we do look at some of the other trends that are going around the globe, we need to make sure that we loosen regulatory policy within that sector of agriculture. And the EPA literally needs to back down a bit. They're going too far. This is the first time that I've seen that this is an anti-pro-growth strategy, that if you're in the private sector, they want to punish you as opposed to help you. And that is something that the country cannot be sustainable on. And so when you have a president who decides to shift markets without the market dictating where the economy should be, and this is the type of trouble that we get in the end.
And so the Congress is on a break right now during August, right? And
I like to call it an August work period. As you see, I'm here at the Holmes County Fair working, all right?
Melissa. So you're away from D.C. during August. What are you guys hoping to accomplish when you get back?
To finish the appropriations process. Right now, we have passed 5 out of the 12 appropriations bills. And last time, before Speaker McCarthy was removed, which he shouldn't have been, we were 80% done with the appropriations process on the discretionary side. Now we're almost 50% of the way there. My concern is that we will fail by some members of my party who are not reasonable, unfortunately, and we will end up passing a continuing resolution in September to make sure that the government remains open. And because of 8 Republicans' actions about 3 weeks ago, voting no on a legislative appropriations bill, they are going to be the reason as to why we are going to get an omnibus, a megabus, or 2 minibuses, or whatever vehicle we give the Senate to send it back. So that's what we're going to be chipping away on. But I unfortunately have been in this movie once, and that was last year. I saw how it played out. I expect this year, unfortunately, to play out the same way, just because we have a few people who aren't getting what they want to their own agenda.
So do you think going into a presidential election, as you head back in, will affect any of anyone's decisions in what they're doing to make this appropriations bill pass?
Unfortunately, I don't think it'll have any bearing on some of these individuals. You know, the biggest thing that surprised me in Congress, and I didn't ask, but it'll fit in, is how disappointed I've been in my other colleagues. And I really do mean that on both sides of the aisle. You know, when you look at someone and they're a congressman or a congresswoman or a senator or a governor, you expect a product, and that product should be, you should know what legislation you're voting on, the importance of it, who it affects, what part of your demographics, your district, your state, your country. And I'm just going to tell you, I bet 33% of them have no idea what they vote on every single day, and they go in there and they've made this more about publicity than taking care of the American people. And that is one of the biggest problems that I see in Congress, just writ large, is that people have found this to be an expedited way to be a celebrity as opposed to doing the job as the job is supposed to be done, which is to represent the people that vote for you, that you are supposed to represent them, right?
Exactly. And I know one of the things, it was either the beginning of this year or last year, that you guys were talking about was making sure that there were so many things piled into one bill to where people can understand, you know, what's going on. Have you seen that happening, or are you still seeing a lot of things all shoved into a bill and people trying to get things passed that have nothing to do with the main bill?
My favorite part about that question is for the individuals who fought for the bills to be germane, so just to be single subject and to easily be understood, they're the individuals who aren't writing germane bills. I just want to make that very clear. It's all the other individuals, the rest of the 215 of us that are normal, do write germane bills that are single subject and easy to understand. It's ironic that the people who fought for that in the beginning of this Congress during conference rules are the ones who don't do it, right? So, yeah.
I think that would solve a lot of our problems.
I would agree. You know, I've never met anybody, including President Trump, who has ever gotten everything that they've ever wanted. But somehow, you know, you get a guy named Bob Good out of Virginia's 7th District who says it's got to be his way or the highway. And somehow, I mean, make it make sense.
And is there anything else that you would like to share with the constituents and the other folks here in Holmes County about what you're doing in Congress?
Yes, we have 2 district offices. We have one in Medina, which is on Public Square, and we have one in Parma, which is a little further away from our Holmes County constituents. But our district offices serve people who are veterans who have disability or outsourcing appointments, any immigration problems with visas or passports, any health care issues, and I'm proud to say, and in a tough economy, we have returned more than $5 million of constituents' money from the federal government. So regulatory agencies like the IRS and things like that, we've been able to get our constituents their money back, which some have been tied up for several years, a couple of weeks in some instances, you just never know. But the real work of the people of the 7th is done in those offices every single day. And those offices are always staffed, and so is the one in Washington, D.C., even when we're back home for August work period.
And so how can they reach out to your office?
So they can reach out. We have a website online, an official website that they can go ahead and reach out to. Just type in my name and it should populate pretty quickly. But other than that, anyone can give any inquiry that they would like. You know, we do service everyone from our district, and sometimes we do get things from outside of it to be as helpful as we can. And the Medina office number is 330-661-6654. And I say it again, 330-661-6654.
So if they need anything from your office, they can give a call and see what you can do to help.
Absolutely, and we are here to help. We are here as a resource for anyone in the community, throughout our district and outside our district. And just thank you very much.
Thank you, Congressman Max Miller. And I am Melissa Patrick for WKLM.